This is the roadblock, doobadoobadoo-doo, roadblock, diggity-diggity-dee. Well, it's the roadblock to stand and deliver your title or your life, diggity-diggity-doo. Do you remember those two? Well, I do, because I'm old. And it was NXT, roadblock, to be asked, enough of that. On the way to stand and deliver. And it wasn't very good. I mean, it tried hard, but it's just that NXT lately, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, ooh, yeah, you see, I'm getting more modern now. Not very modern, but that was Janet Jackson. Now, NXT's trying, but it just, I'm sighing all the time here, you see. Because it seems a bit fractured. It seems a bit on the hoof. It seems a bit unmade, quite a lot of this. However, there were some interesting things here. One of the main interesting things for me was that in the promo for this roadblock was Lexus King. And he was not Lexus. He wasn't driving one of those. Well, he might have been. I don't think so. He was driving a sports car type thing. I'm not a driver. Not yet. But yeah, I'm old to be learning, I know. But I am learning. And he was driving along, doing a sort of, well, this is what's going to happen at Roadblock. This is where we're going to be. This is what, a kind of narrative thing, you know. I was very surprised to see that. Maybe someone has said, look, we need to give Lexus more time, because maybe he'll be something very special. No, I'm not sure. I think he's had his time. He's only been here 4 weeks. Well, it's been here longer than that, but you know. It did seem as though they weren't sure what they wanted, and now, or what they wanted to do with him, and now he's in on the promo, up top, doing the narrative. Maybe he'll end up on commentary. Maybe it'll be a three-man booth with him and Booker. That would be terrible. Not that Lexus King is terrible on commentary. See where I'm going with this, can't you? Now, first up, we have Dijak versus Joe Gacy. Because they don't like each other. Because NXT say they don't. And if NXT say they don't, they give you a management instruction to say that's what you do, I presume. And you do it, don't you? And they don't give us a reason why they don't like each other. Maybe it's something that we don't know about. You've just got to assume. Just assume it, for goodness sake. So they've been doing this for a while now, Dijak and Joe Gacy. Dijak's been walking into other people's conversations, and you keep thinking, maybe he's going to escape this feud and do something better. Joe Gacy's stuck in this kind of character where, for instance, on his entrance here, they turn the camera upside down. Because he's all upside down and woozy and odd. And like, wacky, man. Yeah, all of that. So, it doesn't bode well for Joe Gacy. I suspect this will be... If this doesn't go anywhere, I don't know where he's going to go. And it hasn't gone anywhere, has it? Except in a poor feud with Dijak. Now, they've had a few good matches, or a couple of good matches out of it. And this was okay. It's the Asylum match. It's really just a match in a cage. There's a straitjacket involved, but then we've already seen that. And there are some weapons. Well, you know, I wanted loads of syringes of phenobarbital, and perhaps... Is that what you do? Is it phenobarbital? Ritalin, is it that? You know, Ritalin on a pole match. Or, I don't know, maybe the loser has a full frontal lobotomy. Something like that. I know that's not what they do in asylums now. I know that. And mental health is a very serious situation. But because they're having an asylum match, I thought maybe we had that. Or maybe it's got white-coated doctors around the ring, acting as lumberjacks. It was just really... It was all right, but it was just... Nothing we hadn't seen before, except for, after an early Dijak Death Valley driver, I've said it properly now, He went to the top of the cage and hit a moonsault off that cage. He looked to have landed, not ideally. He was limping a bit afterwards, but blimey, that was good. That was the highlight of the whole programme, and you had that within the first few minutes. So it doesn't bode well, does it? If I'm telling you that, it doesn't bode well for my thoughts on the rest of the show. The straitjacket came out. There was a nice suplex from Gacy. He took a table out, which had a covering on it, because the table had got a smiley acid kind of face on it. Remember that? I do, because I'm old. So it had to have a covering on it because, well, we know something's written on it then, don't we? It wasn't great. Although I did like Gacy diving off the top through Dijak and the table when neither of his arms were free. That's dangerous because you really can't spread yourself to land. So, yeah. Now, Dijak taped Gacy's face with gaffer tape, as Gacy did to Dijak, because anything you can do, I can do, very similar. And then there was a low blow from Gacy, some kendo stick shots, but Dijak won with Feast Your Eyes. A couple, wasn't it? And it was all, I mean, it's the best match on here. And that's saying something, isn't it? I mean, that's telling you something. Yeah, it was all right. And then we moved on to Fallon Henley talking to Riley Osborne. Now, the thing is that she was there the week before last to talk to Thea Hale. Have you been left by your friends? Yeah, me too. Mwah, 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 mwah. But she wasn't there last week when Thea Hale was still going through it. But now they've decided that she should be back. There's no consistency here, is there? It's not a lot to ask, is it? Just put her in the storyline and continue that story arc. Remember them? So Riley said it was a disaster. The date, she wasn't really interested in him. I wasn't really listening too much, to be honest. Fallon Henley, I think, said she was too overexcited. She might not have done. I think I caught that. I was too busy doing something else, like considering my future. Anyway, here comes Blair Davenport. She's interfering. Now, you know they're going to fight later on because reasons. Yes, they do. I don't like you suddenly for no reason. Well, if you don't like me suddenly for no reason, I don't like you suddenly for no reason as well. We both don't like each other for no reason. Suddenly, let's fight. Now, here's the Wolf Dogs versus Chase U. That would be Duke and Andre, or Andre and Duke, to give them their proper pecking orders. With Thea Hale and JC Jane and Ronnie Osborne and Uncle Tom Cobley and all. And before they start, we've got Paxley with Lyra Valkyria, and Paxley's getting overexcited about the match. It can be quite sweet, those two together. They're not going to win, are they? But it's interesting. But it is another rub from the main roster, and actually, the show did need it tonight. It's a shame, isn't it? So anyway, another man from the main roster. Although I don't know if he's going back there now, because he seems to have found a berth in NXT, finally. Baron Corbin, not Boredom anymore. And Bron Breakker are the champions, of course, of the tag team division. And it was all right, this. It was there's a clotheslines to... that was nice, actually. It was a Corbin clothesline to a Bron Breakker suplex. And then a Corbin backdrop to a Bron Breakker gutbuster. Very nice, you know. Andre Chase came back with a drop toe hold. Andre, if you're going to try and do something, do a double move. What we've just seen before is far more superior than a drop toe hold. Just have a think about your move selection, please. They worked a headlock. That was Corbin. And there was the Bron pop-up cutter, which is very nice. Duke Hudson got the hot tag and dealt with both of them. Side slam for a two count, inside out suplex. Bron then hit a clothesline off the apron onto Duke, which really sent him sprawling onto the announce table. That was very nice, you know. There was the End of Days and a spear for the pin. And Thea suddenly had a tantrum and left. I don't know what's going on with her. It's a bit weird with the Thea Hale stuff, because I thought it was all played out, that kind of, you're just a young person and you're never going to make anything of yourself. Well, I'm now with JC Jane and I'm dressing up like an older person, so I must be. And she's giving me all sorts of older person tips, thank you, like how to put too much makeup on, maybe, and how to wear skin tight things, so I'm bound to be an adult. And now I'm going on a date with Riley Osborne, and now they've decided to move me into another area where I'm like a child again. It's just weird. And Thea Hale's trying ever so hard to make this work. But as we see later on, it doesn't really. Because, JC later on says she won't really work with Thea Hale in a tag team, and she walks off with her new friend. And we've got that to deal with. And I don't know whether it's Thea reacting to that or Thea getting angry and people saying, I don't want to be with you because you're angry. It's all very confused. Those are probably two plot lines they've not even considered. They're probably just going from minute to minute with this. Now, back in the ring. Oh, by the way, that was an okay match. Wasn't great, but with those four people, you're going to have a pretty good one. Now, Mello's very calm, and he's bound to be because he's got the security guards around with him, hasn't he? He tells us there's no bigger star than Carmelo Hayes. Now, the thing is, I know you're a heel now, but that, it's clearly not the case. I mean, I can name 100 others. I haven't got the time to do that because I need to get this out there so you can hear it if you want to. But there's tons of them. One of them, hint hint, spoiler alert, will be coming up later on in this program. Yeah. Now, Sean Spears beat Uriah Connors in about 30 seconds. Connors slapped him to begin with, and Sean's not going to like that. So he hit the knee and the air raid crash for the pin. It was so short. I mean, I know they've got to do the, well, Sean Spears is a really powerful and an important man, and I'm pleased to see him in NXT, but it's a real trope, isn't it? And afterwards, he told us he didn't like Ridge Holland. Well, get to the back of the queue. Because what's to like about Ridge Holland? I mean, his accent, because I'm in the Northwest here, but all of that kind of, oh, I want to apologise. I don't know what for, but it might be my cut-off T-shirt. I don't know. He doesn't sound like that. But, they need to do something else with him. He clearly can do the job. They just need to do something else with him. Of course, he comes on to prick and puncture Sean Spears' verbiage. Got to be careful. Yeah. And, of course, Sean smiles when Holland's music hits. He smacks Sean Spears, does Ridge Holland, and hears some boos for that. Sucks to be Ridge at the moment. The refs are in to stop a Holland chair shot, and Sean Spears is still smiling, but even that smile is a wrestling trope. And him coming out, Holland coming out to interrupt is a trope, and the chair shot and the referees are a trope. Oh, dear. As I say, sucks to be Ridge Holland. Now, Briggs tells Jensen that he's going to be smacked up by Obafemi. But the smack here is about this smacking of jealousy. Well, I'm sorry, Briggs. You didn't get the job done, mate, when you were on your big march to some kind of belt. You didn't get it. And now Jensen's having a go. Maybe he'll just use a bit of his noggin, perhaps, rather than brute strength. And maybe he'll be... No, he won't, will he? No, Obafemi's going to make him look foolish. But out comes Dijak. Remember I said he interjects himself into all sorts of different people's conversations, like Baron Corbin used to do. Baron Corbin doesn't do that anymore because he's got a belt and someone to work with. Dijak really hasn't. He's in that feud with Gacy, which is not going anywhere. And he just keeps coming in to talk to people in the hope that someone will say, right, I don't like you, I'm going to have a feud with you, thank goodness for that. I can get out of the Gacy feud and probably move up a bit. No, what he does, he comes in to talk to Briggs. You're not being honest with him, I think he says. I wasn't really that interested, to be honest. But, it sucks to be Dijak as well. I'm saying that quite a lot at the moment with NXT. Sucks to be Gacy. Sucks to be Dijak. Sucks to be Briggs. Yeah, it's not good, you know. Anyway, Ilya is calm here. But you know it's an act. You know that he's underneath a seething cauldron of worry, paranoia, and good wrestling. That's what I'm imprinting on it. And if you can do that, that's great. Now, out comes Stacks to tell Ilya that Tony D'Angelo will win tonight. Ilya's not interested. He'll fight anybody. You don't need to tell him, Stacks. You don't need to say that, because what Ilya's thinking is, he may do, but if you got Mello out here, or Mello security, they would say Mello's definitely going to win tonight. It doesn't mean anything. I don't know. Now, here are Lyra and Tatum versus the Kabuki Warriors. And Lyra and Asuka, to begin with, work very nicely together, as do Kairi Sane and Tatum. At one point, Kairi Sane asks Tatum to kiss her posterior. See, it's a nice tilt-a-whirl Hurricane Rana. And then Asuka dominates Tatum Paxley. There's Thea getting angry in the back. Oh, I don't know. Capital T, capital B, the back. I don't know. I don't know why. So anyway, there's a, back in the ring, huge chop from Kairi Sane. There's a Tatum, well, she fights back, but then she falls to an ankle lock. And Lyra, when she gets the hot tag, crossbody takes them both down. Tatum is a fisherman buster, which is very nice. Codebreaker from Sane to a snapmare from Asuka, which is lovely. Then Lyra's off the top leg drop looks good as well. And the champs do the hold and the elbow drop off the top for the pin. And there you have it. Well, you don't, because Roxanne Perez attacked Lyra, smacked up her leg. Where was Tatum Paxley? Well, you've been setting this up right, and Lyra will go to hospital, and Tatum is nowhere to be seen. You're not setting up a turn on Lyra, are you? You're not going to say Tatum Paxley really sold her a swerve here, because for all these weeks, she was like her greatest number one fan, and she wasn't anyway, and her and Perez, it's going to be Perez and Paxley, attorneys at law. They're going to have a tag team now. You're not doing that, are you? So you've set up this, I'll always be by your side. You set up a couple of weeks ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago or last week? Last week, wasn't it? Week before. You set up, well, please stay here while I have my match, don't come out, to help me. And where is she now? I mean, clearly she maybe was dealt with by the tag team champions, but what? If you're gonna run this and run this character, run this angle, she needs to be there when this is happening. Where was she? Maybe she was injured. Maybe she was injured legitimately. I don't know. But why wouldn't you have her there if she wasn't? Right. Here's Henley, Fallon Henley versus Blair Davenport. Oh, it went for nothing, because the only reason they're doing this is so Sol Ruka can come back. It's a cartwheel DDT to Blair Davenport so that Henley can nick the pin, really. And she stole one. And it's meh. I knew when they were doing it early on. So this is being set up for something, isn't it? And it was. So I don't know. I keep saying that as well, don't I? I don't know. I just don't, because I'm not sure how they have descended to these depths in such a short period of time. When I was saying on the SNME round table fairly recently, my word, that's good. They've really got their own impetus. This just makes me think, there's loads of unmade ideas. Why aren't you following them through? Why are you doing this? You can see this happening a mile off. Anyway, Ariana Grace will fight Dolly. And if she wins, she will teach Dolin how to be, in inverted commas, a lady. A lady! In the middle of these two is Ava. And she doesn't say a word, really. She just allows two people to make a match when she's supposed to be the commissioner. As William Regal said, and we'll see him later on, as William Regal said, long hours, you know, it's not going to be easy. Doesn't sound exactly like that, but it kind of does. Again, I'll say it again, sucks to be Ava, because she's got this role, but they're not giving her anything to do. You know, a couple of weeks ago, she sat in the middle of, or was it last week? Yeah, she sat down when Tony D'Angelo suddenly stormed out and said, I'll take over from here. Oh, go on then. Don't let him do that. You're supposed to be the authority figure. Here comes Drew Gulak speaking for Charlie Dempsey, who won, if we forget, lest we forget, the Heritage Cup. By the way, Noam Dar has decided he's not interested in the Heritage Cup anymore. He's had a sudden change of feeling. When they've been going for ages, they've been running for ages around Halloween. Remember when they had that Scooby-Doo thing? And he was so upset last time when he didn't have the Heritage Cup. He looks upset this time and suddenly he says, I'll be on to bigger and better things. Blimey, that, you know, it's, oh, that's a sudden change, isn't it? If you'd actually won the cup but said, all right, I'm vacating it because I want to move on to something else, that would be different. But you lost it and you hate to lose. So what's changed your thoughts now? Oh, a writer. Oh, I see. Anyway, Gulak allows Dempsey to talk for a bit, and out comes William Regal. Now, this is difficult, because if you're going to bring out William Regal, it's probably best not to have him chatting to his real-life son, Charlie Dempsey, because what you get is what happened here. He's your son, chants, before he starts talking. It ruined the whole thing. Now, he tells Charlie Dempsey that he needs to defend that cup with honour. There's even a kind of implication, maybe I'm reading into this, that William Regal might fight him. We don't want father versus son. I don't want to see William Regal getting back in the ring. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see him being here right in the mush. What he could do is come back in a kind of Apollo Creed time. Da-da-da. He's training someone, and I think it should be Pete Dunne, because Pete Dunne can do that. Joint manipulation and other stuff. That'd be good, but it's NXT, so they probably won't do it, and I'll be annoyed. Yeah, now, here's your main event. It's Melo versus Tony. Melo versus Tony. Right, Tony D'Angelo is there because he decided last week he's going to have a shot at the title, and he's going to make a number one contenders match. Ava just let him do it. Are they implying that La Famiglia have some kind of, I don't know, a kind of gang, I'm not going to say what the word is, a kind of gang or monetary hold over the NXT? Are they saying that? Because he stormed in last week into the press conference between Melo and Ilya, and Ava just let him do it. Yeah, you be moderator, go on. And here he is in a number one contenders match. Sucks to be Melo, another one, because that hasn't really taken that big heel, that big heel change or big heel turn that was simmering for ages and teased for ages. And oh, by the way, Mr. Stone wants Von Wagner to step aside so he can fight. He might do, he might not. They might have some more vignettes with Mr. Stone's kids, they might not. I might care, I might not. No, I won't, actually. Okay, back in the ring, we've got a Melo Enziguri. Tony takes him down. Security. It's nice, actually. Hold Melo. He falls into the arms of his security guards when he gets thrown off the apron. Works an armbar, works a headlock, sporadic boos while he's doing this. There is a Tony D'Angelo belly to back suplex, and here comes the trick music, and Tony hits the forget about it, because nothing but net was coming up, but he got distracted with the trick music. Whoop, that trick, sucker, whoop, that trick, aha, whoop, that trick, I'm going to talk like, all over it, like it doesn't really matter with the rhythm or anything. So he hears the music, gets distracted, falls to the forget about it, and number one contender will be Tony D'Angelo. But as he said, he's a giving person, or I think he called himself a giving Don, did he call himself that? Yeah. So here's trick. Whoop, that trick, sucker, whoop, that trick. Big pop, big chant. Mello's very angry. He actually does rather well with security keeping him back. Actually, it looked really quite realistic, and that was good. It was probably the second best moment of the night. When I'm saying that, it's not good, is it? Your best match was the first match. It wasn't even that good. And your other best bit is the bit where Mello gets angry. Is that all it's got going for it this week, NXT? Probably. I'll tell you what's got a lot more going for it. Here comes the segue. SNME/. No, I got this wrong. Let me go again. Here comes the bit. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Radio. That's it. It's got great pop culture stuff on there, great wrestling programs and podcasts, including this one, dear listeners. And if you want to listen to that kind of content, you want to unlock content and think, I could pay a little bit of money for that, I don't mind. I think it is quite a little bit of money. It's about $1 a week, which is great when you consider what quality is there. But there wasn't quality. Here comes the segue in NXT this week. Quite the opposite. Is it just me? Maybe I'm too old. Maybe it's a young person's thing. But I just felt that there weren't enough angles. They haven't bothered with them. And that is really rather poor. Ta-ta.